بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء الكرام، brothers in Islam, Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted us various boons and favors, and Allah Rabbul Izzat is blessing us with these favors every minute of the day. It is for us to appreciate these favors and not to develop pride as a result of these favors, and to utilize these favors in the right direction, in the right places. That will be appreciation. Allah Rabbul Izzat has granted us the faculty of hearing. If we listen to permissible things, if we listen to jayz things, if we listen to those things which make Allah Rabbul Izzat happy, then we are using that faculty, that ability which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us, we are using it correctly. We are making shukr to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Contrary to that, if we use this hearing ability to listen to music, to listen to haram things, gossip, backbiting, slandering, then we are not pleasing Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We are showing gross disappreciation. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, he stated, they understood that every ability which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala blessed them with, they used it in the right direction. To such an extent, reports have reached us that when they should hear the sound of music, then they should insert their fingers in their ears so that the music must not reach them. Our functions which are classified as so-called religious and earning sawab are full with music. Sahaba brought iman on these things and brought conviction upon these things because they fully believed in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and whatever Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expounded to them. These days the question is posed that why are Muslims suffering? Why, let alone on the local platform, on the national platform, on the international level, Muslims are being kicked around like footballs? What is the problem? Where does the difficulty lie? Where does the root of these faults lie? What is the solution? Many are afraid, sitting in South Africa, looking at the political arena, what must I do? How must I behave? How must I react? What Islam has got to say about it? Islam is complete. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam elucidated everything for us. Deen is perfect. Quran Kareem has shown us the constitution of life. Everything is written. We have to open our eyes, look at history, look at the Quran, look at the Ahadith, and then make our road. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Shura says that whatever reaches mankind, whatever befalls mankind, whatever comes up to mankind, it is because of his own doings. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Ali, shall I tell you what this ayat means? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Tell us what this ayat means. Yes, Sahabi, great Sahabi, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he does not resort to passing his opinion on the Quranic ayat, but he waits for the clarification, for the interpretation from Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the repository of wahi, the one who's receiving wahi. And today we sit around the Quran al-Kareem in circles that pass our opinions. Person cannot even read two ayats of the Quran al-Kareem properly. He's sitting like the Allama of the age and sitting around the Quran al-Kareem and interpreting the Quran. And then he takes whatever Quran al-Kareem he wants, whichever hadith he comes across, then he takes it and he links it to the political situation of the land or links it to whatever he wants to. Unqualified people sitting around and passing self-opinionated, fabricated, bogus interpretations of the Quran al-Kareem. And then we want the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon us. Scholars of Islam, all in inverted commas. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that, O Ali, remember, any calamity, any disease, any affliction that reaches man, it is because of his sin. It is because of his sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported, and Hazrat Abu Musa Ashari radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, that know, that the scratch by a stick, a stumble, a fall, the throbbing of a vein, or the twitching of a vein, or being hit by a flying stone, is all because of our sins. Hazrat Amish radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when the amal, when the actions of the people become corrupt, and when they begin to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they go contrary to the commands of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts upon them oppressive rulers who will tyrannize them, who will oppress them. Mufti Mahmood Sahib, Damat Barakatuhum, writes what happened, and he records the history of India, that 120,000 Muslims entered India and they were able to take over the land, that great vast expanse of land they took over. They ruled it for centuries in peace and tranquility. The rulers were happy. The ruled were happy. The rulers were happy. The subjects were happy. Justice was being meted out. Fair play was the order of the day. Then degradation set in. Then the power got into their heads. The rulers began to live in luxury. Were steeped in pleasure, resorting to wine, woman and dance. Comfort became the order of the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, amongst them in Delhi, a saintly man rose, instructing them, warning them, admonishing them. Hazrat Shah Waliullah rahmatullah alayhi stood up and he admonished the rulers, let alone the rulers. It is reported he went street by street in Delhi, door to door in Delhi, and saying via spiritual insight and foresight, that reform, change, do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not be disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Conform to the Sharia. Come back onto the path of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rulers and the populace branded him as a mad mullah, as a raving, ranting, crazy mullah. What he knows? He sees, I see a vision. that the streets of Delhi are flowing in blood. Change. He said, what is he talking about? We have got power, we have got wealth, we have got pleasure, we have got everything. Then the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants respite to the oppressor. He grants him leeway. And when he holds him, when he apprehends him, when he catches hold of him, there is no escape for the oppressor. There is no escape for the oppressor. Delhi was attacked. Muslims were killed. Muslims were butchered and massacred. To such an extent that the river Jamna was clogged and was jammed up due to the overflow of bodies in that river. Blood was flowing, and the vision of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayhi was seen that the streets of Delhi were flowing in blood. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the king of the kings. I am Allah, I am the master of the masters. I am the ruler of the rulers. I have the hearts of the rulers in my hands. What are these? I have the hearts of the rulers between my fingers. If you obey me, I will soften the hearts of the rulers and they will bring good conditions upon you. And if you disobey me, then I will harden, I will make hard the hearts of the rulers and they will oppress you. Our amal is right. Then inshallah, the rulers will be right. Hazrat Amish, as I said, reported that when the amal of the people become corrupt, then the rulers become oppressive, become corrupt, and they begin to tyrannize the people. How our amal are, how our actions are, our rulers will be. Irrespective of their color. The Muslim is wanting the solution, wanting a direction. The direction is very simple. That if our actions come right, then inshallah favorable conditions will come unto us. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that when you stop enjoying what is good, and when you stop forbidding what is evil, then you will cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you will beg before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your du'as would not be accepted. Your du'as would be rejected. In the form of one hadith, that even the pious amongst you will make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In poor conditions, the pious will be poor themselves. Their conditions will be pathetic. They will plead before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of the mass grassroots level rot, because of the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will leave and reject the dua. Some people went to Hazrat Imran bin Hasim Ramitullah Ali, who was ailing and sick. He asked them, have you come to condole me? Have you come to pass condolence to me? Have you come to look at me? He said, this illness that I have got is because of my own sins. These days a person becomes a little bit pious. As soon as he gets sick, he feels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making me a wali, I'm getting sick now. He doesn't think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing me. Immediately he gets sick a little bit and goes one, two places to few doctors or to the hospital. He thinks he's the wali of the age. Hazrat Zaiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu states that if a person has learned the Quran and then he forgets the Quran, it is because of his sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires felicity or good for the nation, good for the people, then he makes the tolerant the leaders. He makes the one who is tolerant, he makes them the leaders of the society, locality, controlling the administration. He makes the tolerant ones. And he makes the ulama the arbitrators. When there's a problem, the ulama comes in between and solves it. These days, what respect is left for the ulama? The hadith is coming still, I'll present it for you. And then he makes the generous, he gives the wealthy the quality of generosity. He gives the quality of generosity to the wealthy people, that they generously give the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their wealth, everything. And when he desires evil for the nation, or he desires misfortune for the people, then the foolish become the leaders. The foolish become the leaders. That is why if you look in many countries, that the people in parliament, the people in the assemblies, some of them can't even write their own names, let alone deliberate and discuss in politics. One passing statement here too: don't use Islam for your own means. That you have a preconceived idea of what you are to do in life and start looking at the Quran and Hadith and then say Islam wants this and Hadith wants this. Don't use Islam. We have to adopt to Islam. Don't cut, measure and trim Islam to our fancies. And don't look at Islam through political lenses. Otherwise the firqa, batila, maududis, etc., they have done this. That they have begun to view and look at the Quran and the Hadith through political kindred lenses and made a fine classical mess of Islam interpretation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the foolish will become the leaders, and the ignorant will become the arbitrators, the ignorant person, and the miserly will become the wealthy. When you go to them, they got 201 excuses that they do not want to give and stretch their hands out and do not want to pass their wealth on to the poor, the destitute, and the needy institutes. And the institutes which are running. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you see the people despise the ulama, when you see them despise the ulama, and when you see them spending lavishly on their businesses, beautifying their businesses, and when you see a person that when he's given a proposal for his daughter, then he inquires, are you from a rich family? He only wants to give his daughter to a rich family. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings azab onto those people, that he brings drought, that he brings people who are going to misappropriate funds, embezzle the funds. Then he is going to bring attacks from the enemies, and then he is going to bring oppressive rulers. These are the causes. And in Islam, when the nation begins to fornicate and adultery comes rife, then death rate increases. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's nizam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system is different. He who humiliates, he who disgraces the ulama in private, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is stated, will disgrace them in public. And he who humiliates the ulama in public, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him here and in the akhirat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that he who disobeys his parents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him in this world and in the akhirat. Now Ramzan is coming. Young Hufaz are going to occupy the musalla. And the whole congregation now will start discussing every night. Oh, that Hafiz have got a bad voice, that this one reads fast, and that one is slow, and that one is speedy, and this one is like this. He himself has read Quran, but he's prepared to comment on the Hafiz who whole day sits on the Quran so that he can perform the Taraweeh. No one looks at that, how much manners, how much effort and sacrifice that Hafiz has to make and then reach the Musalla. Hazrat Asma bint Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu once held her head and said, I've got a headache. And she said, this headache is due to my sin. It's due to my sins. Everything is linked to our sins. So if we want to change, we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One small incident before I conclude. The solution. Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah alayhi, Mawlana Mahmud al-Hasan was imprisoned by the British and he was sent to Malta. After many years in Malta, the British were forced to release him. He came down on Bombay, the day of his release. The kuffar were there, the mushriks were there, the Muslims were there, the muwahids were there. Mawlana Shaukat Ali was there, Mawlana Muhammad Ali was there, It was reported Jawaharlal Nehru was there. Maulana Mahmoodudasan, Sheikh Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi, came out Malta, the island outside Bombay, where he was imprisoned. He came and came to Bombay and he was released. Immediately a rally took place, a march took place. Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan Rahmatullah Alayhi at the head of the march. People were chanting Jai Hind, Jai Hind, Jai Hind, Jai Hind. Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan stopped on his tracks and he cried, "What is this Jai Hind, Jai Hind? What is this?" He said, "Don't you know what it means?" So I know what it means. It means long live Hind. He was called Sheikh Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi. Long live him. He said, "Leave me. What we should be sloganing, what we should be shouting is go back to the Quran, go back to the Sharia, go back to Islam. Return to Islam, return to Quran, return to Sharia, return to conformity to the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, return to the Sunnah, return to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He realized it. I am not saying political negotiation. I am not saying that we should negate political negotiation. But the solution is what Maulana Sheikh Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi said, that go back to the Quran, practice about Sharia, return to Sunnah, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will bring good conditions. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.